My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nats tonight at 6:45, as Toby just told you. We've got the game here on The Fan. And tomorrow at noon, the Commanders and the Jets. Nice little 24 hours ahead in D.C. sports. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condorian Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Please be sure to tell them this show sent you. That way they will give you a nice discount. kmlawyers.com. Great guys, our good buddies. We will be traveling a bit with them during the football season. We'll be telling you more about that in the next couple of weeks. But we're busy. Got to get to it. Beltway Blitz on the Nats, the NFL, and the local D.C. sports stadium scene. All coming up right now. Let's get it popping. We begin on the diamond with our friend Craig Heist, 106.7 The Fan, Nats beat reporter. So, Heisty, why don't we begin with yesterday? What a day. I mean, it, 2+ hours of rain delays, and finally the game ended, and it wouldn't go the good guys' way. They had four errors all late in the game.
Yeah, and it really was. It was ugly because of you had Finnegan come in and give up the three runs, and you were trying to hold the game right there to hopefully win it late. But then the Nationals, to their credit, Grant came back, and Luis Garcia hit a ball up in the zone, not quite as high up in the zone as C.J. Abrams did earlier in the week for a home run that I don't think anybody thought was leaving this ballpark down in the left field corner, but it did. It got out, so they tie the game, and then they go into extra innings. And, you know, the throw from Abrams to try to get the lead runner at third, That goes in and out of the glove for an error. And then, you know, the throw from right field on the base hit that scores one run, but then Finnegan doesn't wind up backing the play up, and he's disappointed he gave up the hit, but you got to back up the play at the plate, and he didn't do that. So there were a lot of different things. That also in the squeeze bunt, the Nationals played that grand like they didn't think they've ever seen a squeeze play before. So all of that led to the inning, the big inning, and they wind up losing the game that they probably feel that they should have won.
Yeah, and losing a series 3 out of 4 at the hands of the Giants, who are wild card hopefuls. So tonight they start a new series at home against the Angels, final 3 of the longest homestand of the year, this 10-game homestand. And the big storyline, of course, is that Anthony Rendon, who you covered for many years in D.C., is coming back for the first time. It'll be his first game at Nats Park since the 2019 World Series, believe it or not. He was injured, I think, when the Angels came back. So this will be the first chance he gets to get a nice ovation and to be greeted by the fan base. I mean, weather permitting, hopefully it's a special scene tonight.
Well, let's hope so, and let's hope the fans give him the kind of ovation everybody around here at least thinks he deserves, because he was such an integral part of that team and meant so much to them, both offensively and defensively. And if you go back over his years with the Nationals, Grant, and you take a look at the numbers that he was able to put up, he was one of the leaders of that team. And, you know, I joked around with him last year when the Angels were in Baltimore. I said, what were you thinking when this team started 19-31, you know, to start the season in 19? He says, I thought I was going to get traded. He says, me and along with some other folks. But we just did talk to Anthony. They had a little media session for him outside the Angels clubhouse downstairs. Looks good. He's been off the IL for a couple of days now. Had a couple of hits in the Yankees game last night. So, you know, when you look at it, you just hope that if they have a video montage for him tonight, that they really do give him a nice ovation, and everything's left in the past, if you will.
Yeah, I think they will have a video montage for him, right? I mean, they did one for Michael A. Taylor, and he got a big standing ovation earlier
Absolutely.
This year. So if Michael A., with all due respect, is getting a standing O, I mean, it might go several minutes for Rendon by comparison, because he was, I mean, Heisty, you can make the case maybe Soto was more important during the postseason run. That's probably the end of the list at most. If you look back at the huge swing where he hit a home run off Kershaw and the Dodgers in the division series, then the home run right after Davey got ejected on the Turner call at first in the World Series on the road in Game 6, I think that was. I mean, one huge at-bat after another, one big run-producing hit after another. He was incredible that entire run.
Well, he was, and he helped keep that line moving, as they say, pass the baton. But he was one of the integral parts of it. And you mentioned Soto and Rendon, but you also have to mention what they did from a pitching standpoint, too, down the stretch especially, and that run through the playoffs, and led, of course, by Steven Strasburg. But, you know, Anthony's a special kind of guy, and I think that they should treat him that way tonight when he arrives on the field.
Yeah, in the division series, he hit .412. In the championship series, he hit .417, and then he went on to hit 2 homers and drive in 8 in the World Series. Just an incredible stretch in October. Heisty, it'll be a great scene tonight. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Grant, take it easy.
And my one concern is how big a crowd is there going to be? Because the team's bad, and there's not a lot of people going to games, but also because the weather's gross. But if you're there, make up for some of the people that aren't, and hopefully, you know, it's a real nice night for Rendon coming back. By the way, all of our baseball coverage on The Fan throughout the season, as you guys know, is brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's keep the blitz moving. Our buddy is Benjamin Brown, covers the National Football League. Benjamin, why don't we start with the Patriots, who played last evening. If Drake May's not the starter, why not play him a little bit more? It was like 6 snaps, 3 throws, couple of screens. I get it if you're protecting your starter. If you're a backup, shouldn't you play a little more than that?
Yeah, I'm very much in your boat. I for one, I think I gravitate towards being more aggressive, especially in the preseason. you know, obviously injuries happen, but this is a time to get like real bona fide NFL type snaps and to, you know, only have a guy make, you know, basically one series, not really be out there. It seems like in some ways maybe he's they're leading towards him being the starter, but they kind of did a similar thing with Jacoby Brissett. It was fun to see Joe Milton play, but the fact that Bailey Zappe got, you know, 20 dropbacks basically in this game, it's just, it doesn't really make sense when he's the guy on the outside looking in from a roster standpoint, and you very much still have a ton of question marks at the top three spots for that position at, on this particular roster. So I would say in any sort of preseason type game, I'd like to see the coaches more aggressive, especially at the quarterback position, but especially on the Patriots side of things, it just makes too much sense not to evaluate these guys. And it just doesn't really, I would say, speak to a really sound, I would say, process with what they ended up actually going with last night.
Falcons-Dolphins kicks off tonight at 7 o'clock. I don't know who's playing and who isn't. I won't pretend to guess. But just using the game to kind of talk about these two teams this year, do you think Atlanta should be the favorite in the South after adding Cousins? And then on Miami, how can they get over the hump of just being a really good regular season offensive team that isn't much of a threat in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think both, obviously, you know, kind of really crucial questions. I'll start with the second one. I do think the Dolphins, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, one of probably, I would say, the second best division in all of football. So from that perspective, I do think that just in a lot of ways, things get tougher as we enter towards the home stretch of the actual NFL season, and they just haven't performed probably where they've been at in the regular season. I think in a lot of ways, they started off hot. Again, going back to it, they have been a team that has been a little bit more aggressive in how they kind of play some guys, you know, in the preseason. I'm not sure, given where they're at, you know, roster-wise, we'll see any sort of run from anybody tonight or really at all in the preseason. But I think that, you know, there's some truth to the matter of, you know, once a guy, especially like Mike McDaniel type play caller, they have some of these, you know, time to actually develop plays in the offseason. And then once you get 8 or 9 weeks of that kind of on film, there's really not a crutch to fall back on if they haven't reserved some more of the plays that they developed in the offseason to really kind of add a wrinkle to the offense. And I think in some ways, that's why we've seen the gap at least close down, you know, for where the Miami Dolphins have been offensively at the start of the season to where they actually finish at the end of the season. So I think there's a lot more to that discussion, and it is probably much wider than just Mike McDaniel, but we do kind of see it across, I would say, a lot of the marquee type offensive play callers the past couple seasons. So it's an interesting thing, I would say, to monitor, but don't really have any strong conclusions on that. And I would say, you know, the Falcons, interesting team as well, kind of on the opposite side of things from a coaching standpoint. You know, what are we going to see from Zach Robinson? You know, kind of a unique wrinkle in what he's going to provide from an offensive scheme standpoint. You know, Raheem Morris taking over for the Falcons. Like, there are a lot of questions, and I do think, you know, what they kind of put on tape tonight will at least help guide us in maybe their overarching philosophies for both an offense and the defense side of the football, I would say.
Another of the three games in the NFL preseason slate tonight, Texans Steelers in Pittsburgh. Who starts week one under center for Pittsburgh? Do you think it's Fields or Wilson?
I do think it's going to be Wilson. I think long-term, we do see Fields end up as, you know, the starting quarterback at some point this season. I would probably venture to say sooner rather than later, but I think week one, the door seems to still be open to Russell Wilson, but I think long-term it's going to be Justin Fields, or they're going to be kind of in the same position they were at this offseason, guessing who they want under center coming up in 2025.
Ben, great as always, buddy. Looking forward to chatting after Washington's played its first preseason game next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Yeah, buddy. Be good. Let's continue the blitz. Kind of. I mean, we could have played the Wizards or the Capitals or Capital One Arena or Grant eats a chicken tender basket and watches sports on 7th Street. Because really, we just want an update on that venue. And Eric Flack, who's the reporter who wins awards over at Channel 9 for breaking news and investigating things like stadium deals, is joining us now. So, Eric, you came out today with a pretty big bombshell. We had the big press conference, and Ted Leontis and the mayor, Muriel Bowser, hugged, and everything was awesome, and D.C. is going to be the home of the Wizards and the Capitals for decades. Except it sounds like nothing's actually been finalized and no paperwork's been signed.
Yeah, I was surprised to find this one out, Grant. You know, all I was looking for was a copy of the contract to read through it, and I come to find out through some open records requests that the contract has not been signed. What was signed is what's called a term sheet. It lays out generally what the agreement is, but there's a lot of details that have to be ironed out. That term sheet gave the two sides, D.C. government, Department of Economic Development, and Leonsis and Capital One and Monumental, gave them 4 months to basically hammer out a deal. Well, that deadline has passed. Now, within the language, there's a 30-day expansion, and we're in that extra 30-day window. After that expires, which would happen sometime in the middle of next month, Monumental could take this deal to arbitration. The clock is ticking, though, because the money is supposed to start flowing to Monumental when the fiscal year begins, October 1st. For that to happen, this deal has to be finalized and approved by D.C. Council for that money to flow and for the renovations at Capital One to begin.
So what's the worst case here, the arbitration? I mean, if that happens, obviously the team's still going to play there in perpetuity, and the average consumer may notice no difference, right? I mean, so what's the worst case?
Yeah, I think it is, out of fairness, important to note that both the city and Monumental are downplaying this. They say this is just all part of the process. I mean, there's language to say that if this doesn't happen, we're back to square one. If Monumental doesn't get its money, there's language in the term sheet to say not only can Leonsis take the Caps and Wizards back to Virginia or wherever else he wants to go, but there's language in it to say you can move the Wizards, so which to me says move out of the D.C. market altogether. Now, again, a lot of this language is my interpretation. Everybody's being really tight-lipped about it. But the worst-case scenarios, we're back to square one. I don't think it's going to get there. Everybody is telling me it's not going to get there. But it is notable that we're this far down the road, and the ink has not actually been signed to the final deal that would lead to this long-term lease expansion, the Caps and Wizards staying in D.C. long-term, and maybe most important for the consumer, all that money, you know, sprucing up Capital One, which desperately needs it.
Eric Flack, Channel 9, WSA-TV in town, an investigative journalist who covers a lot of things we don't talk to him about, and then the things we talk to him about are normally stadium deals, which seem to be never-ending around here. Speaking of which, while I have you, I'd be remiss if I didn't get an update on what seems to be a holding pattern. You know more than I do, so maybe I'm wrong, but what is going on with the RFK site and the ongoing conversation between, you know, Blackie Wetzel's family and Steve Daines and the Commanders? Yeah. Are we still just waiting on essentially Steve Daines to stop dragging his feet?
No, I mean, I think we're waiting on the Wetzel family to give the go-ahead. As I reported, and I think one other journalist has reported, they're going to honor this Wetzel family at the home opener, most likely the home opener. They're hoping that appeases the family enough that they are on board with removing whatever objection they have. Daines has said he will remove his objection as soon as the family removes their objection.
Okay, but let's say that happens, Eric. The other thing you had floated at one point to us was that there were a couple of Maryland lawmakers that are kind of waiting and laying in the weeds to then be the next fly in the ointment. So it's not like we just start sprinting toward RFK at that point.
Oh, 1,000% not. In fact, you know, I get a sense from a number of different people who are associated with this process that there is nobody who assumes anymore that this bill is actually going to pass through Congress. I've been told that the fact that it's election year is problematic. The Maryland lawmakers are problematic. If Daines does not get out of the way, he's powerful enough that that's going to be problematic. It could have problems getting out of the subcommittee because you have senators like Bernie Sanders, even on the Democratic side, who don't want to see any sort of, like, anything help out a billionaire like Josh Harris. And everybody knows this is about the potential to put the stadium there. Nobody's, like, you know, kidding themselves about that. So I get the sense more and more that this is no guarantee. And then Josh Harris and his team would have to decide, do we wait another year try this all again in the next Congress, thereby pushing back this process again. They've already said, we're now looking at 2030 at the earliest before we get a new stadium, wherever it is. And so I think, you know, I think that Harris and this team, if in fact it does not go get through Congress, the RFK bill, they are going to be facing a big, big question about whether to move forward in Maryland or Virginia or wait another year and push the entire process back by another year.
Wow. So what's the timeline then, before I let you go on that? Like, when is the hit the wall date that if it doesn't happen by X, they've got to wait a year or pivot to Westmore and Virginia, you know, Maryland or Virginia?
I've been told nothing's going to happen until after the election, and then everybody's going to come back and get everything done that has to get done before all the congressmen and senators, and this has already passed the House, we're in the Senate now, goes on their Christmas vacations and gets out of town.
Is that like mid-December, or when is that?
Yeah, mid-December. We are looking. One person familiar with the process on Capitol Hill told me their game, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but who do they play the second week in December? Like, they said it would probably be that game, the second week in December, before
that would be the Saints.
It was either the Saints or somebody else, but okay. It's one of those games in December. They said Saints, I'm looking at a schedule. Yeah, it's, I think, around middle of December, I was told. Maybe Titans December 1st, Saints December 15th. You know, it could be as late as the Eagles December 22nd, but you're getting pretty close to Christmas and the Senators and everybody wants to go home. So it's going to be the middle of December before we know for sure.
Oh, just such a holding pattern.
Such a holding pattern. I know. Hey, but we still have FedEx or whatever it's called. So
yeah, called. We don't have a name anymore.
Redskins Park? Redskins Commanders.
I was watching Moneyball the other night, which is such a good movie, by the way.
So good. So good.
And there's like a song that his daughter came up with that she sings throughout the whole movie. It's like a real life song, but it's in the movie is the little girl song. And it's, I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. You know that? And it's like,
totally.
That's me with this, just trying to be a fan of this team, man. They changed the name because they have to. Now someone's mad they changed the name and the logo, so they don't get the stadium. It's like, hey, man, I just want to watch football. So whenever you get a chance, I'm just a little bit caught in the middle.
It's not that much to ask, Grant. It's really not.
Thank you, Eric. Good catching up, brother.
All right. Take it easy. Happy Friday, guys. Bye.
Tell him I'm sorry I kept him so long there on the blitz, but there was a lot of ground to cover with our guy, Eric Flack. We got another Eric on the show at 5 today. Eric Edholm ranked the Commanders in the bottom 7 or so in the National Football League in his power rankings. Does think they have a chance to really be a surprise team, though, pending Jaden Daniels' performance. Next, let's talk practice coverage and some of the takeaways people are having from camp practices next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm sure a lot of you guys saw the videos percolating today online of breakdancing at the Olympics. There was a lot being made today of the brand new Olympic summer sport of breakdancing. One of the ways people were talking about breakdancing was to scream that it isn't a sport, as if that is a precursor or a prerequisite to be an Olympic activity. There are so many Olympic activities that are not sports. Trampolining, bouncing on a trampoline, and I didn't watch it. So I really don't know exactly what you have to do to get points or to get scored, if it's just how high do you go, or I don't even know how you would grade that. But that's a sport at the Olympics right now, trampolining. That is an event, a competition, if you will. Equestrian is not a sport. It's an amazing skill. It's really cool. It's a long-time competition internationally and at the Olympics. There are others, just top of my head, I could think of. But, you know, what's the one where they're synchronized swimming? You know, there's like 14 people together, and they're all doing the exact same motions, which, by the way, is incredible, because I couldn't dance on land to music in rhythm with other people, and they're just doing it in a pool while treading water. There's nothing sporty about that. I'm not saying it's not difficult or that I could do it, because I can't. It's a competition, but bad take if you're upset about breakdancing at the Olympics, because there are plenty of other activities like that. And who cares, really? I mean, let's be honest. Find something else to complain about. There's 83 events already. The 84th is the one that puts you over the limit. Now, if you want to tell me that they got rid of baseball to make room for breakdancing, like they're at a limit and they can't have any more athletes and they can't have any more activities or sports competed in, so they had to get rid of baseball to make room for breakdancing, well, okay, I'll lock arms with you. And we could be friends in arms and go after breakdancing. But in the meantime, go have your fun, kids. Play some music and do your wacky dances. And the viral clips, I'm sure, will be turned into all kinds of gifts that we'll see for years to come. But the closing ceremonies right around the horizon. This has actually been a blast. Probably just a sign that I'm getting older and I'm home at night a lot more. That's what I've come up with. I probably was out and about more in past years during the Olympics. But I've probably watched more Olympic action and the activities at night than I think I ever have. And maybe that's also the time difference and the fact that they're doing the primetime broadcast. I also, this week for the first time, watched the Red Zone version of the Olympic coverage, Gold Zone. And it's the exact same broadcast as Red Zone. It's awesome. So, so good. I think it actually adds a ton to the viewing experience. Makes you a little more interested. You're getting anecdotes. You're getting information fed to you, which I think is really, really cool. Anything that you can do to supplement and enhance the viewing experience, good and necessary, because most of these sports activities, games, people just don't know anything about. So you better be a good storyteller. You better make it relevant to me. You know, make it accessible. Tell me why I should care. And to have Scott Hansen or somebody else sit in there going sport to sport to sport, you know, showing us who's playing and working in the details that you get at night from Mike Tirico, I just think it makes it more of a TV show. It makes it more entertaining. So it's been really, really good. All right, I wanted to talk training camp with you and practices. So this is a complicated conversation. I'm going to try to peel some layers back on this onion. I find myself getting more and more annoyed by how training camp is being talked about. And it's not just camp. The preseason is similar. But I want to be clear off the top, as someone who was a beat reporter and who's buddies with a lot of reporters, this is in no way a shot at the people covering teams, because their job is to give you as much information as possible. But the oversaturation now, and maybe that's the big problem, of the coverage of practices has gotten to the point where every play is scrutinized, and it's not supposed to be. 7-on-7 drill work, you know, individual drills, one-on-ones where you're working on technique and you're going up against somebody. All of this stuff is not necessarily made to be evaluated by people that don't really know what they're evaluating. And I don't mean the media, although I guess some of us are certainly in that boat. I'll raise my hand plenty of times on that. But I just mean generally, like, you see something put out there that Grant Paulson just got beat one-on-one in position work, and it just leads to these massive declarations about players. This guy stinks. He's a bum. He can't play. Cut this guy. Waste of a roster spot. And I just hate the toxicity to it all. And I don't really get how we got here. Social media is so good in so many ways, but I truly do blame Twitter. The immediacy of the ability to critique what you're seeing in real time now almost forces you in an arms race as a reporter to get everything out that you can. I've been there. I've lived it. I've done it. I remember it. Going back, I'm sure in 2012, 13, when I'm on the beat, you know, 10, 11, whatever, I am sitting there tweeting out plays and telling you what happened. But I think generally there's just a difference between saying, hey, someone made a nice catch along the sideline, or even so-and-so had a tough practice, or not a great rep for this guy. And what feels like now the play-by-play of the stuff that isn't necessarily made for everybody's eyes. I'm not saying we should have less access. We should always have more. I just think we've got to be careful with what we do with that access. And it's a media point, but it's not even a beat reporter point, an aggregator point, I think. I find it so annoying the way these aggregators operate. So I'll give you an example. Yesterday, Linnell was at Jets camp up in New Jersey. Our own Linnell Willingham. You know him as the youngest in charge movement, I believe. But Linnell, who's my guy, is tweeting out practice 11-on-11. You know, Jaden Daniels is 7-of-15, whatever the stats were. Now, again, I don't love the idea of keeping stats of 11-on-11 practice work, to be completely honest with you. But it has become part of the fabric, and it is now a normal thing to do. There are these sites, I don't like them, but they keep stats during, you know, all the practice reports. But this is not Linnell's issue. Like, here's what Linnell did. Someone said, go up to practice and tell me what happened. Be our eyes up there. And so for a lot of people like me and Darius and Ryan and all of you, you weren't at practice. So the more information you can get, you get to decide what you want to do with it, the better. So he gives you that information. From that then, I forget which account it was, but I blocked it immediately. It was one of these main accounts that aggregates and has 500,000 Twitter followers that posts a bunch of stuff with attribution at the very bottom. But they basically came out and they said, Jaden Daniels had a bad day of practice today, 7 of 15, maximum of 25 yards. And they essentially just kind of like gave the cliff notes on everything Linnell had said from or other people, reporters, had said throughout practice. But they then drew the next conclusion, which was a lot easier when no one's around and when it's, you know, you're not taking on the Jets, Daniels could be in some trouble as the live bullets start flying, or whatever their stupid take was.
I believe the quote at the end was, the Jets defense had Jaden Daniels seeing ghost, I'm sure.
And maybe they did. But, like, you don't know, first of all, person that's not a person. It's some account. It's just an aggregator account with a blue check. It's farming engagements to make some money. It's the whole thing is just rotten. I hate it. And so, and you're seeing this everywhere. And it just annoys me. And I just think we've gone in a very short time from instructive, legitimate information that is beneficial to have to now, A, evaluating something that doesn't always need to be evaluated. Like in spring training, here's a good example. In spring training, I've had guys tell me in the past, I've, you know, asked them, hey, man, that was rough. Like, what happened? Just gave up 6 runs, 7 hits, whatever it was. I was working on a changeup. I don't have a feel for my changeup. I lost it in the offseason. I've got a new grip I was working on. And they literally just went out there to throw batting practice until they could figure out their changeup. That was the whole point. But imagine if you take these major leaps on declaring something because someone is working. And we're just seeing the cooking of the sausage, you know, the making of the meal. And I don't think everything's meant for your eyes. I said this the other day about a restaurant. Like, I'm glad I don't get to see everything that happens behind the curtain sometimes. I just want the meal to be brought out to me when it's done. It looks awesome. They put it on a plate. But, you know, that argument, I'll speak out of both sides of my mouth, almost seems like then I don't want all the information. And I'm an info guy, so I do. I want to know what the practice looks like and how he performed. And it's not even about Daniels. It's larger. But I wonder if anybody's with me, that it's getting to be too much. And that really the issue is it's not the plugged-in reporters, in my opinion, who get to talk to coaches and people. It's just the secondary, like, people that spread what's reported as if it's fact and make the leaps. And I just think we all need to calm down a little bit in August. That's all. Where are you guys at on this? 800-636-1067. And maybe a better way to ask the question is, like, what types of information do you consume and care about this time of year? What do you dismiss? Are you someone who's locked in and reading reports out of camp practices? Or are you someone who's just kind of sitting back waiting to watch games? There are probably a lot of people like that. You know, I keep saying, where's the Jaden Daniels excitement? Maybe a lot of people aren't tracking all of this because they think it's silly and ridiculous. It's excessive. 800-636-1067. We'll get your thoughts on that next. Grant and Danny without Danny on the Fan. I'm looking to get perspective from you guys as I welcome you back on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What do you consume and what do you dismiss as important, not important this time of year? There's just so much content and seeming play-by-play analysis coming out of practices, 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s is the most identical to a football exercise, but even that is not authentic to a game. Like, you're seeing, you know, a lot of times, like, I got a video sent to me. I think it was my brother sent me something on Instagram the other day of some random practice, wasn't Washington. And it was like a quarterback dropping a ball into the bucket somewhere. And it was like, and I think he was like sending it to me because it was like, best throw you'll see all day. And it was against air. It was literally a drill without a defensive or offensive line. Like, what are we doing? And my greatest fear is that the average person doesn't understand what they're seeing or why this is so irrelevant. Now, you guys are good eggs. You're smart. So I know you guys understand. You're listening to Sports Talk Radio. You're in the nation's capital. You're Grant and Danny listeners. So you guys are the few, the proud, the elite. And I get that. But those other silly geese out there, I just don't know if people know what they're looking at. And it's exhausting. Elijah's in D.C. What's up, Elijah?
What's up, man? I'm glad he didn't light it up in practice personally, because based off the reports of the kind of guy he is, he's gonna learn. He's gonna go in when no one's there. He's gonna do the work that's necessary to really, you know, check out those things that he wanted to improve on, and he's gonna really correct those things. He's gonna get with the coaches. So at this time, I like to call this bait season, and you know, people are gonna have to tune in. You know, people are gonna want to tune in, and the purpose of these stories are just to get people to tune in to see whether it's gonna, if it's true or not, or whatever side you're on. You're going to tune in, and it doesn't matter. And that's the point.
I guess, but I mean, most of the people talking about the practice don't benefit if you tune into the game or not. That's the only part I disagree with. Like, yes, if you're covering the team, it benefits them if you're excited, I guess. But if I'm writing about the Bengals for the Cincinnati Times-Picayune, and you're watching a Bengals game or you're not, it doesn't really change my gig at all. I might want you to read my stories, but I don't need to build someone up to make you watch. I mean, a TV network might do that. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, Grant? Listen, I love the media and the Fourth Estate. I think it has a vital job in our society. That being said, with all due respect, most of the reporting that goes on for sports, particularly the NFL, is not essential. And for that matter, there's very little reporting that goes on that actually helps the team. So if you're wondering why access to the teams is being reduced and public and available practices are also being reduced, it's not just about protecting their competitive advantage. It's because all of this nonstop obsessive coverage just makes their job harder.
Well, let me disagree with you on that. You can hang on the line. Every ounce of coverage that a team gets benefits the team. This is straight out of the playbook.
I vehemently disagree with that.
Well, I mean, I just think it's factual. I mean, there's people's information that they're getting adds to their interest in something. If there was nothing on the Commanders, if it just went dark until week one, there would not be the same energy and interest. It's why companies advertise. It's why Wendy's wants you to see their burger.
But you're talking about interest. And I'm talking about their impact on the team's mission, which is to win football games. I agree with you. All publicity is good publicity, whether it's bad or good, in terms of like staying relevant.
Okay, well, I'm talking about from a business perspective, and I'm talking about growing a fan base and actually having fans that are passionate and care and come to your stadium and be loud. You're talking about
how does coverage of practice that, you know, like you said, is not done in context, is reviewed by people many times negatively. How is that helping grow the fan base or aid the team?
Well, it creates conversation and dialogue about the team, and every pixel on your team, all the attention being paid to your team in the media is growing the base and creating more conversation.
But that doesn't make Dan Quinn's job easier. Like,
but
I mean,
again, you're having a different conversation than I have.
No,
yes, it's related. But again, we're talking past each other. If you're saying it doesn't make Dan Quinn's job easier because the wins and losses aren't affected, I totally agree with that. I'm not saying it makes it easier to win football games. I'm talking about Jason Wright's job. I'm talking about, specific to this organization, a team that actually needs to build its fan base, it is a huge deal from a business standpoint, and it's why companies advertise. It's why you see the burgers on TV.
If what you're saying is true, that all coverage is good and good and beneficial for the teams in the league, then why are they taking steps to limit said coverage?
Well, they're not necessarily, other than in practices, and not all teams are. The team that wins the Super Bowl every year isn't. The Kansas City Chiefs. Dan Quinn is. I don't really have a good reason as to why. He's pretty worried about people being there, it seems like. They also had construction they blamed this year on that, so maybe it'll be different next year. But I think the idea of practices specifically where they're getting their work in, they feel like the juice isn't worth the squeeze. But they're not doing any less in terms of talking to the media,
and I agree with that.
Having availability.
The original thing you were talking about was this reaction that happens on Twitter about practice tweets.
Correct.
And
I don't like how practice is covered.
I don't like it either because that's work. Like you said, that's like the sausage making.
Yeah. So where we disagree, though, and I appreciate the call, where we disagree is like it almost seems like you don't like the access part of it, that like the media has the ability to cover the practice, that they are in the way of the team or something, which really isn't the case. The team shouldn't really notice the media at all. They're off to the side. They're kept nowhere near anybody. You're not interacting with them coming on the field, off the field, until it's time to do your interviews. So theoretically, it should have no bearing on your work day at all until you've got to actually do a couple of interviews after practice. The coach does a few-minute press conference before, one coach, the head coach, that's it. But where we disagree is, I don't have any problem with people being there. It's like the second level of the media, not the people that are on the scene going, here's what's happening right now. The next, that in the game of phone, all the people that are then taking that and blasting it out and adding their own commentary and analysis without any information, without talking to coaches or being around players or figuring anything out. It's really, in my opinion, a social media issue is kind of the core of what I'm talking about. It's like the way that we now just, like, things get, it's a game of telephone. If I'm on the sideline and I say, Emmanuel Forbes just got beat on a play by, you know, Alameda Zacchaeus, I'm not suggesting Emmanuel Forbes is terrible and should be cut. But the next account that takes my tweet says, Emmanuel Forbes, comma, a first-round player who looked like a bust last year and got benched, had a terrible day of practice. He got beat badly by Alameda Zacchaeus and continues to struggle. Like, that, to me, is what's so maddening, and I hate it so much. That's all. I don't know how we fix it. I just think it's social media in a lot of ways, like, at its worst. And there's just a lot of those, like, secondary... There's a whole media industry now, in aggregation, essentially. In, like, using a megaphone to take a play and make it a point. You know, taking a snap and making it a larger... A whole story, an evaluation. Let's talk to Eric Edholm next. Grant and Danny, no Danny today. NFL.com just put out a power rankings. Seems pretty high on the Commanders. You're listening to The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with MyBlinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm looking to get perspective from you guys as I welcome you back on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What do you consume and what do you dismiss as important, not important this time of year? There's just so much content and seeming play-by-play analysis coming out of practices, 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s is the most identical to a football exercise, but even that is not authentic to a game. Like, you're seeing, you know, a lot of times, like, I got a video sent to me, I think it was my brother sent me something on Instagram the other day, some random practice, wasn't Washington. And it was like a quarterback dropping a ball into the bucket somewhere. And it was like, and I think he was like sending it to me because it was like, best throw you'll see all day. And it was against air. It was literally a drill without a defensive or offensive line. Like, what are we doing? And my greatest fear is that the average person doesn't understand what they're seeing or why this is so irrelevant. Now, you guys are good eggs. You're smart. So I know you guys understand. You're listening to Sports Talk Radio. You're in the nation's capital. You're Grant and Danny listeners. So you guys are the few, the proud, the elite. And I get that. But those other silly geese out there, I just don't know if people know what they're looking at. And it's exhausting. Elijah's in D.C. What's up, Elijah?
What's up, man? I'm glad he didn't light it up in practice. Personally, because based off the reports of the kind of guy he is, he's gonna go in when no one's there. He's gonna do the work that's necessary to really, you know, check out those things that he wanted to improve on, and he's gonna really correct those things. He's gonna get with the coaches. So at this time, I like to call this bait season, and you know, people are gonna have to tune in. You know, people are gonna want to tune in, and the purpose of these stories, just to get people to tune in to see whether it's going to, if it's true or not, or whatever side you're on, you're going to tune in and it doesn't matter. And that's the point.
I guess, but I mean, most of the people talking about the practice don't benefit if you tune into the game or not. That's the only part I disagree with. Like, yes, if you're covering the team, it benefits them if you're excited, I guess. But if I'm writing about the Bengals for the Cincinnati Times-Picayune, and you're watching a Bengals game or you're not, it doesn't really change my gig at all. I might want you to read my stories, but I don't need to build someone up to make you watch. I mean, a TV network might do that. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, Grant? Listen, I love the media and the Fourth Estate. I think it has a vital job in our society. That being said, with all due respect, most of the reporting that goes on for sports, particularly the NFL, is non-essential. And for that matter, there's very little reporting that goes on that actually helps the team. So if you're wondering why access to the teams is being reduced and public and available practices are also being reduced, it's not just about protecting their competitive advantage. It's because all of this nonstop obsessive coverage just makes their job harder.
Well, let me disagree with you on that. You can hang on the line. Every ounce of coverage that a team gets benefits the team. This is straight out of the playbook.
I vehemently disagree with that.
Well, I mean, I just think it's factual. I mean, there's people's information that they're getting adds to their interest in something. If there was nothing on the Commanders, if it just went dark until week one, there would not be the same energy and interest. It's why companies advertise. It's why Wendy's wants you to see their burger. If it made sense, you're talking about interest,
yeah. And I'm talking about their impact on the team's mission, which is to win football games. I agree with you. All publicity is good publicity, whether it's bad or good, in terms of like staying relevant.
Okay, well, I'm talking about from a business perspective, and I'm talking about growing a fan base and actually having fans that are passionate and care and come to your stadium and be loud. You're talking about
how does coverage of practice that, you know, like you said, is not done in context, is reviewed by people many times negatively. How is that helping grow the fan base or aid the team?
Well, it creates conversation and dialogue about the team, and every pixel on your team, all the attention being paid to your team in the media is growing the base and creating more conversation.
But that doesn't make Dan Quinn's job easier.
You're having a different conversation than I have. Yes, it's related, but again, we're talking past each other. If you're saying it doesn't make Dan Quinn's job easier because the wins and losses aren't affected, I totally agree with that. I'm not saying it makes it easier to win football games. I'm talking about Jason Wright's job. I'm talking about, specific to this organization, a team that actually needs to build its fan base. It is a huge deal from a business standpoint, and it's why companies advertise. It's why you see the burgers on TV.
If what you're saying is true, that all coverage is good and good and beneficial for the teams in the league, then why are they taking steps to limit said coverage?
Well, they're not necessarily, other than in practices, and not all teams are. The team that wins the Super Bowl every year isn't. The Kansas City Chiefs. Dan Quinn is. I don't really have a good reason as to why. He's pretty worried about people being there, it seems like. They also had construction. They blamed this year on that, so maybe it'll be different next year. But I think the idea of practices specifically where they're getting their work in, they feel like the juice isn't worth the squeeze. But they're not doing any less in terms of talking to the media,
and I agree with that.
Having availability.
The original thing you were talking about was this reaction that happens on Twitter about practice tweets.
Correct.
And
I don't like how practice is covered.
I don't like it either because that's work. Like you said, that's like the sausage making.
Yeah, so where we disagree, though, and I appreciate the call, where we disagree is like it almost seems like you don't like the access part of it, that like the media has the ability to cover the practice, that they are in the way of the team or something, which really isn't the case. The team shouldn't really notice the media at all. They're off to the side. They're kept nowhere near anybody. You're not interacting with them coming on the field, off the field, until it's time to do your interviews. So theoretically, it should have no bearing on your work day at all until you've got to actually do a couple of interviews after practice. The coach does a few-minute press conference before, one coach, the head coach, that's it. But where we disagree is, I don't have any problem with people being there. It's like the second level of the media, not the people that are on the scene going, here's what's happening right now. The next, in the game of phone, all the people that are then taking that and blasting it out and adding their own commentary and analysis without any information, without talking to coaches or being around players or figuring anything out. It's really, in my opinion, a social media issue is kind of the core of what I'm talking about. It's like the way that we now just, like things get, it's a game of telephone. If I'm on the sideline and I say, Emmanuel Forbes just got beat on a play by, you know, Alameda Zacchaeus. I'm not suggesting Emmanuel Forbes is terrible and should be cut. But the next account that takes my tweet says, Emmanuel Forbes, a first-round player who looked like a bust last year and got benched, had a terrible day of practice. He got beat badly by Alameda Zacchaeus and continues to struggle. Like, that, to me, is what's so maddening, and I hate it so much. That's all. I don't know how we fix it. I just think it's social media in a lot of ways, like at its worst. And there's just a lot of those like secondary, there's a whole media industry now in aggregation, essentially, in like using a megaphone to take a play and make it a point. You know, taking a snap and making it a larger, a whole story, an evaluation. Let's talk to Eric Edholm next. Grant and Danny, no Danny today. NFL.com just put out a power rankings. Seems pretty high on the Commanders. You're listening to The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.